President Prabowo Subianto has emphasized that food security will remain his government's priority in the first 2 to 3 years of its term. After the closing of the International Conference on Infrastructure 2025 here on Thursday, he said that food production in Indonesia has reached its highest level since the nation's founding. The president also highlighted the advancement of agricultural technology that has helped boost productivity in several regions. The Indonesian Ministry of Forestry is tightening its supervision of forest area use permit holders amid rising environmental concerns over mining activities on the island of Raja Ampat, southwest Papua. The current high level of public awareness regarding nickel mining activities in Raja Ampat Island, which have a great ecological value, is an opportunity to make improvements and ensure good governance. And that was the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kasolami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasolami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasolami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or cloth to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in thick or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called KGP. To make kasolami, initially KGP is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the KGP, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with KGP flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasolami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasolamis. Kasolami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasolami is the initial food in Buton's traditional events. Interestingly, kasolami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Buton residents. Kasolami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Listener, on today's Music Corner, we bring you a wonderful selection, a beautiful keroncong song entitled Angin Rindu by Anggirian and the New Normal Keroncong Group. This heartfelt song was written and originally popularized by Roni Parulian, a finalist of a popular talent show in Indonesia back in 2023. It's officially released on July 19, 2024. The song tells the story of someone longing for their beloved one, hoping the wind will carry their feelings to them. Well, listener, let's sit back, relax, and enjoy the keroncong version of Angin Rindu by Anggirian and the New Normal Keroncong Group. Happy listening!
Sampai kapankah rindu ini akan bertahan? Rasa gelisah menghantui perasaanku. diam-diam mencari-cari hadirmu di sampingku. Andai saja angin membawa rinduku padamu,
oh. That's the sound of Gending traditional music from wayang or a shadow puppet performance at Museum Seno Budoyo, Yogyakarta. Basuki, dalang or puppet master, enthusiastically played wayang kulit or leather puppet accompanied by Gending music rhythm and the beautiful voice of Sinden or Javanese traditional singer. His love for wayang since he was a kid made him deepen puppet mastery and teach puppet mastery. Basuki explained that wayang began from India. Historically, wayang was used in Indonesia to spread Islam.
Menurut yang saya ketahui, ceritanya dari India. Cerita itu dibawa ke sini oleh orang-orang Hindu. Tapi dulu itu bentuknya bukan seperti ini, tapi
as I know, wayang is from India. The story was brought by Hindu people, but wayang wasn't like this. It had reliefs of Borobudur temple and Prambanan temple to develop Hindu and Buddha religions. I don't know in what century. Sultan Kalijaga was a culturalist because Japanese people were interested in wayang and the story. Because it's just in the form of temple reliefs, Sunan Kalijaga took it over to develop Islam by changing the form. He created wayang like now. West Java has wayang golek and wooden puppet, which has the same story as wayang purwo or classical leather puppets for Hindu epics. There is the story of Ramayana and Mahabharata. Jogja also has wayang golek, but with different story, namely Mena. It also aims to develop Islam.
Wayang is not merely an aesthetic performance art. Wayang kulit performance, which uses devices different from other wayang performances, is rich in philosophic values symbolized in every aspect.
Jadi seni pedalangan itu mengandung banyak falsafah, terutama falsafah kehidupan. Yang saya ketahui.
So puppet mastery contains many philosophies, the main factor in life philosophies. What I know in puppet mastery, there are clear or wayang screen to describe the world. Red colors in the upper part symbolizes the sky, and the lower part symbolizes ground or earth. Light in puppet mastery is called blancong, describing the sun and the moon. Japanese people call it binabar. So knowledge is so not kept. So people can choose the good or the bad one. So it's all shown.
Besides, wayang also has certain symbols. Wayang stories adapt the story of Ramayana and Mahabharata, which is also rich in philosophic meanings.
Misalnya kalau cerita Ramayana ya ada Ravana itu yang berwatak jelek atau angkara. Kalau dari pihak Rama itu yang berwatak baik dan jujur. Antara lain begitu. Pendawa lima yang
for example, baik. The story of Ramayana in which Rahwana is bad and cruel, while Rama is nice and honest. Pandawa Lima is good, but whether it's right or no, we don't know. Nobody is perfect. But in general, people from Pandawa are good and honest, while those from Kurawa or Astina are bad. But not all of them. Therefore, Japanese people call it binabar knowledge. It's all shown. It depends on us which one we should follow.
Nah, kita tinggal memilih mau ikut yang mana.
Jajari. Yo, maju.
Unlike other traditional art, which are threatened to extinct, wayang kulit art is still able to survive. Wayang kulit is getting global and attractive.
Kesenian pedalangan dan kerawitan ini sebenarnya sudah mendunia sekarang ini. Lebih dari 100 negara itu punya
and karawitan classical Japanese music art are actually already popular worldwide. At present, more than 100 countries already have traditional gamelan orchestra, wayang, dalang, and sinden. There are sinden from Japan and the U.S. Young generation can learn it if they want to. I see lots of progress. Many students of SMKI now learned it. When I still thought karawitan major only had one class, now there are three classes.
Adaptive wayang art makes wayang kulit continue to exist and get far from extinction. According to Professor Bakdi Sumanto, an intellectual and culturalist, wayang is easily adaptable to the recent era and trend in communities. That's why wayang never dies.
Ya, wayang itu memang terus-menerus ada ya. Artinya masih hidup dengan sangat bagus sekarang. Kalau kita melihat ke Solo, lebih dahsyat lagi.
Wayang kulit continues to exist and survive well. If we move to Solo, it's amazing. Jogja still has a strong scenario, not like Solo, which has changed into pop art. We have to know what people like now. For instance, war. So that puppet masters like Kimantap Sudarsono try to make puppet manipulating by playing wayang kulit like people play kung fu, long jokes, and addressing politics. In the era of the then Indonesian President Suharto, Golkar Party always won the election. Anom played in Senayan, Gatot Koco graduated. It means the graduation of Suharto. So, wayang and politics are closely tied, that wayang continues to exist and it's amazing.
Yo, tore sedeng sineo amoho marabu doso. Sriranganing pusono kinontrang kontrang kinontrang kontrang masarano ya sanggang
polo. Kita berbasis dari seni tradisi yang ada di kita, yaitu lebih ke wayang kulit sebetulnya ya, karena kita bermainan bayang-bayang gitu. Nah, awalnya memang saya mulai mengeksplor karya wayang ini lebih ke limbah ya, ke plastik, lebih ke transparan sebetulnya.
This wayang is based on traditional art around us. It's like wayang kulit actually, because at first I explored this work into plastic waste. It's more transparent. So I equip it with wayang tafib and lighting with traditional wayang. If traditional wayang only uses one light, wayang tafib uses 12 lights. So it uses film techniques like fade in and fade out. The difference is wayang kulit has solid material, so it only has one color when the light hits, while wayang tafib is colorful.
That's the explanation of tafib, modern wayang creator. Wayang tafib is a performance adapting wayang kulit. Wayang tafib is wayang made from plastic with lighting system used in wayang kulit. Wayang tafib was created as tafib worried about the young generation who have no space to play. So wayang tafib is the innovation of wayang kulit. Besides, through modern wayang, tafib tries to broaden youth insight on environmental awareness.
Nah, saya mencoba bagaimana mereka bersosialisasi dengan membuat wayang, bahannya dari bekas sampah, plastik, gitu ya. Kemudian
I try to introduce youth to wayang made from garbage and plastic. The materials are easy to find. Then I try to broaden their insight on garbage which can be useful for a world.
Bahwa sampah juga itu bisa bermanfaat untuk sebuah karya.
Unlike traditional wayang, which brings the story of Ramayana and Mahabharata in wayang kulit performance, wayang tafib story is taken from daily life and school lessons.
Pertama kali saya bercerita itu untuk ruang bermain anak-anak itu, saya tidak mengambil cerita-cerita dari Ramayana ataupun apa gitunya. Nah, saya
at first, I told a story on playground instead of taking the story of Ramayana. I took it from their school lessons. I told stories about food chain like mouse eats rice, snake eats mouse, eagle eats snake, and eagle eats snake. So who eats eagle? It raises question and human is revealed to eat eagle. In the end, the story ends up with knowledge about garbage that is beneficial for wolves. Something like that.
Figures in Wayang Tavib are also taken from figures close to kids.
Untuk awalnya saya dalam proses itu tidak memperkenalkan dulu wayang-wayang tradisi karena terlalu jauh bagi mereka. Tapi pola saya adalah mengikuti irama anak-anak dulu, karena selama saya mencoba-coba kalian hari ini menggambar tokoh yang Anda senangi.
I do not introduce traditional wayang because it's too far for them. I try to follow them. I let them draw figures they like. From 60 kids, no one drew wayang figures. They drew SpongeBob, Naruto, and many more. That's the problem for me. I take it slow. When they start to like draw and play wayang, I introduce them traditional wayang figures.
Tradisi yang ada di kita. Nah, gitu aja polanya.
Concerning the phenomenon of modern wayang, which no longer follows the rule, public has various opinions. Tikno, wayang orang or human puppet artist from Jogja, disagreed with wayang performance, which doesn't follow the rule, while Gusti Joyo, little brother of Yogyakarta Governor Sri Sultan, agreed with the innovations of wayang.
Pribadi saya kurang suka itu, Mbak. Karena wayang merupakan gambaran kehidupan kita. Jadi istilahnya
I don't like modern wayang which no longer follows the rule because wayang is description of life. Our life is described in wayang. There are bad deeds and good deeds. But it still has its rule. It has to be standardized. But I don't agree if dalang changes its rule. The real artist is creative indeed, but never changes the prevailing rule.
Pakem yang sudah baku.
Itu banyak yang harus diterjemahkan, terutama untuk anak-anak saya.
Many parts in wayang should be transformed in a comprehensive way, especially for my children. I present them wayang with more comprehensive explanation. Otherwise, they do not understand. I realize that the world changes, so there should be adjustment. Kraton or palace still has teaching form, so it still runs in Kraton. Kids are forced indeed.
According to Bakdi Sumanto, Javanese culturalists agreed with innovations and adaptive character that make wayang never die.
Pakam itu bisa berubah-berubah, karena wayang itu sangat adaptif dengan zaman.
Rule can change as wayang is adaptive to changes. In the era of G30 as PKI, which is the 1965 incident revolved around the killing of six army generals, Subandrio, who witnessed the incident, was called as Druna, person who made other people fall down, and Sukarno himself reflected Gatot Kaca figure. So Sukarno delivered a speech by using the allegory of wayang. We do it because wayang is so adaptive that it continues to exist.
Both traditional wayang art and popular wayang art are valuable and unforgotten national cultural products. Basuki and Tafib hope the young generation always preserve wayang.
Harapan saya ya generasi muda supaya lebih
baik. I hope more young generation can preserve wayang. If it goes international, I'm so excited.
Senang saja.
Hati saya tidak akan gelisah misalkan ketika ada kesenian atau misalkan wayang kita diaku oleh Malaysia atau diklaim oleh Malaysia. Saya enggak gelisah hati saya.
Yang I wouldn't be worried if our arts or our wayang are claimed by Malaysia. What makes me worried is when my children or my grandchildren do not know wayang. This is the hardest thing, making generation in the next 10 or 20 years still know and care about wayang.
Thank you. ujung gelisah ini aku tak seretik pun tak ingat kamu, namun dirimu masih begitu acuhkan ku tak mau tahu. Luka-luka-luka yang ku rasakan bertubi-tubi-tubi yang kau beri. Satu cinta bertahan, satu cinta bertahan, satu cinta bertahan, satu cinta. Pernahkah engkau sejenak mengingat? Seperti angin berlalu di setiap malam kini aku tak sedetik pun tak ingat kamu, namun dirimu masih begitu acuhkan ku tak mau tahu. Luka-luka-luka yang ku rasa
is one of the legendary solo culinary delights because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as gempol plated, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. Called as gempol pleret is beverage because of its refreshing presentation, but there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make as gempol pleret, we have to soak rice flour first, then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs, and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gempol as rice meatball because it is round, made of rice, and it's white color. According to the story, gempol comes from the word jempol because it uses the fingers. Baret is also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gempol pleret is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or green sticky rice tapeh. For one bowl of es gempol pleret, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiahs. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Statusnya ingin aku mengenalnya. Aku berhasil menjadi temannya, walau sebatas di sosial media. Aku terbawa imaji tentangnya, citra yang dibuatnya. Komentar di timeline-nya, aku tak suka panas aku jadinya. Aku cemburu, terbakar hatiku, hilang sudah logika. Aku merasa jatuh cinta padanya meski tak pernah berjumpa.
Yeah. your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smiles, kindness and love, that's what I feel.
Voy listeners, still here with me, Ray, in Indonesia today. And don't forget to tune in to our online streaming, voynews.id, shortwave in 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Also, our application in RRE Digital for those of you love watching on demand. So stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, if you visit Ambon, it's incomplete without tasting ikan asar galala, the most iconic culinary in Ambon, Maluku. It is called ikan asar galala because it has been known since ancient times that Galala Village is a fish hunter. The basic ingredients of ikan asar are generally cakalang fish, yellowtail fish, or mackerel tuna fish, as long as the fish's texture is dense so that it is not brittle when smoked. Ikan asar is a smoked fish. This is smoked differently and uniquely. In general, the fish is smoked horizontally, but ikan asar is placed diagonally on the side of the embers that produce smoke to make the fish completely dry and fully cooked. The cooking process is quite simple. After cleaning the entrails, the fish is skewered with bamboo and ready to be smoked on the stove. The smoking takes about 4 until 5 hours. And is done in a closed room so that the smoke soaks into the meat until it is completely cooked. Listener, ikan asar has an extraordinary taste because the smoked fish is savory and the aroma is so appetizing. Ikan asar is very appropriate to be enjoyed with warm rice and sambal colo-colo, a typical Maluku sauce made from shallots, chilies, basil, and key lime.
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Rupert Island is a quite large island and covers an area of 1,500 square kilometers. Rupert Island has many attractive panoramas and natural charms. Tourists who come can find views of a small river that flows calmly to a large river that divides the island. The view of the white sandy beach can spoil and captivate the tourists who visit it. Rupert Island is one of the big islands in Bengkalis Regency, Riau Province. It is even larger than the island of Bengkalis, which is the central of government for Bengkalis Regency. The location of Rupert Island is directly adjacent to two of Indonesia's closest neighbors, namely Singapore and Malaysia. Even the lip of the beach is also directly adjacent to the Malacca Strait. Rupert Island is an actively populated island, so there are no opening and closing hours. The island is open 24 hours. The entrance tickets to Rupert Island vary depending on what tourism attraction you are going to visit. If only to enter Rupert Island, there are no costs besides boat tickets for transportation. As an island that is intended to be a tourism destination, several facilities have been built on this island, such as restaurants and inns. To get to Rupert Island, you have to cross by boat known as Roro Ship or Roll-on Roll-off. The crossing fee is 100,000 rupiah per car and 6,500 rupiah per person. The crossing time is around 30 until 45 minutes. listener to attract tourists, the Rupat Beach Festival is usually held in October. This is an annual agenda for Bengkalis Regency. In the festival, there are a number of competitions that are participated in by the local community, such as parade of ornamental canoes, kites, pillow fights, beheading boat races, and many more.
At least 67,870 new jobs are expected to be created in Indonesia by the end of this year. According to head of the National Economic Council, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, he said that this increase in employment opportunities is expected to come from two renowned global textile companies planning to relocate their facilities to Indonesia.